The Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then boom!
With Jason Ross.
No, he didn't! Yes, he did!
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sacktown Sports.
We welcome you back. Thanks so much for tuning in. Dave, Jason, and Chris taking you all the way till 10 a.m. about 50 minutes from now. Styles and Watkins, the fastest growing radio show in the world. They will join us for a little bit of celebrity birthdays and crosstalk. Our thanks to Marcos Breton, who was a last minute ad when he put his article out today. Seemed appropriate on opening day. And nice of him to join us. Always a good combo with Marcos, who's not afraid to go against the grain, not afraid to speak his mind. And Jason, just to put a bow on that segment, and I know that I look at things a little bit different than maybe not look at things. I feel about things a little bit different than you and Marcos on this topic, and that's okay. And there's a lot of people that you and I both know and love and respect that went through the King saga that are every bit as emotionally attached to that as you and I, that look at this as a great opportunity. They don't feel great about it, but it is what it is. It's just something Marcos hit me. Something Marcos said hit me towards the end. And I know it's kind of, you know, poetry and blue sky, and maybe it's just I get too emotional, but he said, you know, this is a business, this isn't a love thing, you know, although the A's fans love their team, it's a business, it's not about love, because I had made the analogy about the marriage. Mm-hmm. and when he said that, just the weirdest thing in my head, we didn't have time to go into it, but I was thinking of the chorus of that Tesla song. Uh-huh. And how much that meant to us the whole time, which was love will find a way. And I'm not trying to be a goofball here. Don't underestimate love. Don't underestimate love, because love is commitment. Love is entrenched. Love is something that can open doors that seem to be closed. And maybe I am just being Mr. you know, Hopeful Henry here, and they are two different situations, but I just can't shake the idea that if we are even making it 1% easier for this team to leave Oakland, it just doesn't sit right, but I'm probably in the minority there.
Yeah, I mean, I know there's more on this and we could go into, but I think that some of the nuance that Marcos was talking about, like the day, I still remember the day when Kevin Johnson heard that the team was for sale. Now, it wasn't for sale to Sacramento, but yeah. It's like, now we got a shot. That's
right.
That's what he felt like the tide turned. So, and I know what you're saying about, you know, hey, let's shut off Sacramento as a possible exit. Well, you can't shut off Salt Lake. I'm with you. I'm like, look, the goal number one to me is keep them there. Hey, is there a way to make Fisher sell? Is there a way? If there is a way, but if there isn't, and even to A's fans, I could be wrong, but I think they'd rather see them in Sacramento. They'd rather see them in Oakland. Number one, clear cut. But if it was a number two, wouldn't Sacramento be better than Salt Lake?
No.
I think
no.
No.
Uh-uh.
No.
Why?
Fish.
I would
for
want
an A's fan.
I would want them to be in Salt Lake, because then they have to renegotiate an entirely new TV deal, which is why I think Sacramento is being chosen to begin with, is they could work that out with Comcast. If they're in Salt Lake City, that deal is gone, which we all know is one of the big reasons why they're not going anywhere for a while, because you're talking about $70 million every year going to John Fisher that they don't know where to come up with that money from.
So then what does that do for you as an A's fan?
As an A's fan, I think if John Fisher has to make a choice between Salt Lake City and Oakland, he has to choose Oakland because that's where the TV money is.
I guess my point was they were already to Salt Lake. Like if they've already crossed
that bridge. I
don't
think
they're
already to Salt Lake, though.
Well, I don't either, because I think Sacramento definitely is an option. I mean, you think Oakland's going to be saved?
I don't think so, but I think moving to Sacramento gives them a definite push out of Oakland. I don't think – if they come to Sacramento, I can't see them going back to Oakland.
I think the blue sky thing – by the way, Chris, I do agree with you. I think Salt Lake's a smokescreen. I don't think Salt Lake's for real. I really don't. I think it's Sacramento or Oakland. I don't know. I think the blue sky scenario – and again, this is blue sky. I totally – we're just BSing here. Salt Lake's a no-go. Sacramento's a no-go. They go back to Oakland. They're full force towards Vegas. But Vegas has problems. John Fisher has had trouble closing deals in the past. Maybe they get something on the. I feel like as long as they're in Oakland, and again, I'm going to parallel this with the Kings. The Kings weren't for sale when they made the deal with Henry Samueli in Anaheim and the Honda Center. They weren't for sale. They weren't for sale when they were talking about Virginia Beach. They weren't for sale until the Maloofs were basically smoked out of their hole. They were running out of money. They were running out of time. They were frustrated. And finally, somebody came along and gave them a record price that was overpriced. Overpriced. Remember when we heard $535 million? It was like, oh, my God.
That's tragically undervalued right now.
Right. And then Kevin Johnson was like, okay, I'm going to put together this deal. Well, reportedly, they already have ownership groups, Joe Lacob and the like, that are ready to go. And I don't even know how real that is, but it's been on record that it's there. I guess my blue sky is they get blocked. Salt Lake City doesn't happen. Sacramento doesn't happen. They're forced to go back to Oakland, play there for 3 years. And then in that process, Vegas begins to fall apart. We hear the smoke screens, this, that, whatever. Fisher finally says, screw this, man. I'm done. Somebody comes along and godfathers him a $2 billion deal for the team, and they stay in Oakland. And if they come to Sacramento, we make that chance less possible. But, Jason, I know that my scenario is blue sky. Your scenario is, I concede, it is more grounded in logic and reason. And I think that's just why this is going to twist a lot of fans a little bit.
Yeah. And I mean, and if there's still moving parts, then we wait and see what happens next.
Yep, exactly. All right. Well, we'll much, much more on that. In the meantime, it is opening day. There is real baseball being played. It is a great day for sports fans. Jason, you've been a baseball fan your whole life. We've all been baseball fans our whole lives. When it comes to memories, when it comes to baseball, what is there one or are there some that kind of stick out, whether it's watching it, playing it, whatever it is?
I would say, you know, you kind of touched on it earlier. There's some nostalgia in it to me, and part of it has changed. I mean, I think it's changed the way all of us have viewed sports. But Dave, there was probably a time for you that one of my favorite things as a young child was to get up in the morning to get the newspaper, which is something that doesn't happen anymore, to get a bowl of cereal and just go through and read the box scores. I mean, that was just that was a fun exercise. You could kind of squint your eyes and say, hey, you know, that was helping me teach me math along the way or whatever. You were just looking at different things, looking at every box score. I didn't see any games or every game. You only had a few games you were a subject to see. But that was such a fun time, and it just shows you how much dated that was, right? Where newspapers, box scores, you referenced looking at the B on Sundays when they print out everybody's stats. Mm-hmm. Even when I was still getting the B, I don't know how many years ago that was, they wouldn't do box scores anymore. And I was like, man, papers are even changing. Why aren't they showing the baseball box scores? Those kind of memories, besides watching games, going to games every once in a while and playing as a youth, just that was some of my favorite times with baseball.
There's the watching and then there's the playing, because it's one of the great things about baseball is that for so many of us, you know, especially here in the U.S., baseball is so, I mean, it was basically you played baseball and you played soccer.
Yeah, throw a kid in a T-ball. Just go.
Right. And I think I wouldn't say everybody, but, you know, we all had maybe a year that stuck out. I love to hit, but I love pitching and catching because you're always involved in every play.
Yeah. How far along did you play, by the way?
So I played until my sophomore year in high school. I got as far as, I mean, there was a moment there where I actually really considered baseball as a career. Everybody did, but was good enough to get a couple of tryouts down in Glendale, work with a couple of teams, and absolutely blew the tryouts. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to tell great stories here, but you know, I had an arm. I could throw. It's funny though. My favorite memory, I loved to pitch. I just absolutely loved the chess match of pitching. Plus, again, you're involved every step of the way in the game. But I'll never forget, man. Carmichael Little League, fourth grade. I played for the Angels. Our jerseys were green and yellow, even though it was the Angels. Yeah. I can't explain why. Our coach was Roger Sargent and his son, Brett. I mean, I will not forget it. Jason, I don't mind telling you, dude, I could not miss the ball. I don't know what the hell it was. I was batting third, and I was smashing it. I think I hit something like 750 or something. And this was fourth grade. Like, they're trying to throw strikes, and you're just smashing it. But I could not miss that year. It was so fun. It was so cool. And then what happened is I started to grow.
Yeah.
And I went from this, like, short little, you know, stout dude to, you know, as I grew, hitting became – and plus you're advancing – with pitchers, hitting became far more difficult. And then eventually I was more into pitching than hitting. But we all have had, I think, those Little League moments where you had that one year where it just seemed amazing. Yeah. And I was never more in love with the game. And I've never had more fun playing any sport than that year.
You know what's funny? And we are all separated a little bit by age between the three of us. So, Chris, this might go to you, too, because I know you played growing up. Like, Was there some point, Dave, where there was a licensing agreement that allowed Little Leaguers to now wear, like, authentic, closer to team uniforms? Because I was on the Cubs one year, and we were brown and yellow, and we had, like, the Pirates. Remember the Pirates in the 70s had that pie hat that had the stripes? Like, that made zero sense. Why were we the Cubs? Right. And you just said you were the Angels, and you were green and yellow. I think one of my last years in, like, whatever it was, Pony, I think I was the Angels, and we were actually – closer to what the Angels jerseys were. Chris, did you have normal?
Ours were the Phillies, and we were like a dark burgundy. I remember T-ball, I think we were the Blue Jays, and it was like a sky blue. It wasn't even close to that.
Yeah.
Jason, I think you're onto something, because when we were super young, there was always like the Phillies, the Padres, the Angels, and then there was some like rando Dragons.
Yeah. The snakes. It's like, wait, why?
My friend, he tells me this was down in Southern California. All the teams had that, and he was on the Fighting Frogs. Not only that, they were the worst team, and all the other teams had a song about how bad the Fighting Frogs were.
Come on. That's tortured terrible. Youth.
When it comes to the games itself, you guys are going to get me to wax nostalgic about baseball now, and I'm fighting with it. Look, I'm a lifelong Giants fan. My first memory is Chili Davis and Johnny Lemaster and 103 losses. 100 loss plus.
Yeah. Didn't you go to doubleheaders too?
Oh, every year my dad would – when the schedule came out, my dad would say – I'm laughing because it's so silly, because as a kid, my dad would grab the – and my dad was not a my dad was not an over emotive person, but he would always — the rule, you could not touch the beat until my dad was done with it, or you were hurting, especially the sports page. And my dad would get it, and he was always up before us, and then I'd come downstairs and pour a bowl of cereal, and my dad would go, schedule time, and boom, I'd head over there, and he'd let me look down the schedule, and I'd go, this one? And he'd go, yeah. And it'd be like the Phillies playing a doubleheader at Candlestick. And, you know, my dad was never one to waste a coin, so – you know, why go to one game when you could go to two, which we did. So every year we do a doubleheader at Candlestick. And going through those years, you know, with the Giants, whether it was the Chili Davis or one flap down Jeffrey Leonard or Johnny Lemaster, or, you know, on to Bob Brenly and all that. When Will Clark entered in 85, 86, Roger Craig came over, Al Rosen became the GM. I waited forever for a championship and finally got it with the Buster Posey Giants. Mm-hmm. I got to tell you though, man, there was nothing like crying because Will Clark ran into Andres Galarraga at first base his rookie year and screwed himself out of the Rookie of the Year award that Todd Horrell ended up winning. I think Robbie Thompson, a Giant, was second. Hank Greenwald and Ron Fairley winning the NL West in 1987. Old Giants fans will really remember this at Candlestick. Anytime a player hit a home run, they would play over the PA the 20th Century Fox fanfare while they're rounding the bases, and you just get these goosebumps and Giants vision, which you had to, it was like early pay-per-view to get extra Giants games, and every game on, sorry, they're a competitor, but having KNBR and tuning the stereo just right to listen to the Giants games, and then Scotty Farrell afterwards say, hey, everybody get on there, and that whole thing, like those. Even the championship years couldn't compare to me to the Roger Craig Hum Baby Giants. And even talking about it right now, it's like talking about an old flame that never worked out, but you were in love with. I've never had more love for anything, including our Kings, I think. Well, it's probably tied than with those Hum Baby Giants.
What's interesting, too, is you said it earlier, Dave, and I had this dream. Like, I was, you know, going to be third base for the New York Yankees. That was my thought as a kid. And I had a lot of friends that played baseball that thought that I loved football and basketball at the time, but I never thought I would be in the NBA or the NFL. And I don't know. There was always just dreams of, and I don't know if kids today, they probably still play Little League. They probably still play some baseball, but if they have those same kind of thoughts about the sport and thinking they're going to be, and obviously some go on, obviously, but if they have those kind of dreams.
You know, I hope so.
Like, did Mason really care about baseball?
That I watched my son. We put him in Little League and really pumped him up about it. And he was like into it. He pitched, he hit, but he only did about 3 or 4 years in Little League because he wanted to focus on soccer and basketball. And those are his passions right now, soccer and basketball. And he said, I just, rather than play Little League, which he was kind of into, but I think he was into it more to make his dad happy. And we had a talk about it. I said, dude, I want you to do what you want to do. And if you want to focus, because there's a travel soccer team that happened during baseball, I said, do travel soccer. And that's what he chose. And I think there's a lot of kids today, his age and younger, that baseball's just not as cool. But Jason, I'll tell you, playing games, getting the free snow cone afterwards. Yes. And then, you know, my buddies growing up, Sean, Brett, Chris, Willie, a handful of others. We would all do everything. Anytime we had a baseball, Willie had one of those big bat bags, backpacks that would fit bats and balls and all that. And we'd put all the baseballs we had into this bag, and summertime would hit, and there was nothing, dude. Mm-hmm. There was nothing like getting up at 7, 8, 8, whenever you woke up. Everyone's meeting at the field. We ride our bikes a good mile, 2 miles to Star King Junior High because they had the fences, the short fences for the lower leagues. They had a short fence instead of, you know, 400 to center. It was 250 maybe to center. I don't know. And they had three different fields like that. We'd hit that at 9 a.m. on a summer day with nothing but a water fountain near us. And we would take turns being the pitcher, and we would play home run derby. We played home run derby teams against each other. And, dude, before you know it, it's like 6 o'clock at night. We hadn't eaten. We didn't care. I don't know if that's still happening, but those are some of the best memories.
Absolutely.
Not of baseball, but just of life.
Yeah, so. I'm with you. Over the line for hour. I could play all those games. Did play all those games forever and ever and ever.
We will take a break. So enjoy opening day, and I would love to hear at 916-339-1140 on the text line some of your great memories, whether it's watching or playing baseball. When we come back, what to watch tonight, March Madness amongst it. Then we'll get into crosstalk with Styles and Watkins. We'll do all that right after this.
Very good sources, and he just kind of tells it as it is and gets to the point.
Jason Ross.
He has a lot of pretty smart things to say.
He's good at what he does.
On Sactown Sports.
Welcome back in. Dave, Jason, and Chris. We will take you all the way till 9 a.m. Styles and Watkins will join us momentarily. Guys, as we get to what to watch, Something I just want to share with you real quick. I'm dabbling in the English soccer thing, and I just want you to imagine this as if it were something here. In soccer or football over there, you have to submit your books every year. And then your books are made public for everyone to read. So, for example, Huddersfield Town, the club I work with, there's a guy out there that will then top line those numbers and share them publicly. And guys, I'm looking at what the revenue was, wages, losses, gains, player purchases, player sales, how much is spent, how much is owed, if they have any debt, what they made on the year or lost on the year. It just breaks everything down into this spreadsheet and is made public. And my question is this, not that we want to get too nerdy, but God, can you imagine that over here? If every year we got to see how much the Kings did in ticket revenue, whether they were in a profit or a loss, how much that was, whether they had any outstanding debt. This is real stuff over there that fans are as engaged in as we are with cap moves and this and that, the business of sports. I just wonder how it would go if we were able to see the books on all these teams.
I wonder if it would change. Does it change things there, how people consume things at all? I mean, I guess obviously those are already the numbers that are dictated. But I don't know if you saw that ticket.
I will say from my side.
Yeah.
So the big thing right now is Manchester City is making their tickets more expensive. And then all of the fans are saying, you made $80 million last year. Why do you need more of my money?
Yeah.
And that's how it works.
80 million pounds.
80 million pounds. And when you have, so example, you propose an increase in season tickets or what they call season cards over there, they can. But here's the other thing, guys. To prevent or to help quell the latest trend, which is these foreign billionaires coming in to English soccer, for example, and spending
a foreign owner of a soccer team.
I know, right? And spending a boatload of money. They have these rules over there that limit what you can spend based on it's mathematically inverse to the revenue you bring in. So the lower your revenue, the lower you're allowed to spend. You have to create that revenue, which in most cases, with the exception of a Man City or some of these bigger clubs, is coming predominantly from local advertising and from sales. Which, again, imagine if the Kings' attendance and revenues were so bad that they weren't allowed to go out and spend more until they increase those season ticket prices, even though they may not be that successful as a club. It's a whole different world over there, and I can't decide whether I like it or I hate it.
Oh, it's terrible.
Well, there you go.
It is, because like it was these big money teams to begin with, and they made these rules so that you can't get teams to – you can't – it will – how much harder now would it be for Huddersfield to make it all the way to the Premier League? And hey, let's even say make the Champions League top four. It's almost impossible with the rules that they've set up.
It is. And once you get up, as we see this year, more than likely all three teams that got promoted to the Premier League last year are going to get demoted. I think Luton Town might stay. But when you go to the Premier League, your salaries go up. So you get this huge parachute payment that comes in, a lot more revenue. But when you go down, it gets tough. So you're right, Chris. It is very difficult. We think it's bad here trying to fight the Lakers. It's like that on steroids.
Yeah, imagine if they could just spend more just because they had more revenue.
Just because they're good. All right, what to watch tonight? We got the Western Conference in action. The New Orleans Pelicans, who are, they may not be within striking distance for the Kings, but you can still see them on the highway ahead of you. They haven't gone around the turn. They host the Bucks tonight, so we'll watch that. Also, March Madness is back. Sweet 16, West Region. Jason, Clemson, your Clemson Tigers,
mine,
taking on number 2 Arizona, then number 4 Alabama, and 1 seed North Carolina, the Tar Heels. East Region, number 5 San Diego State, which, by the way, let's say San Diego State wins tonight, and by the way, even if they don't, is it time that we start? Is the big narrative next year when we get brackets going, well, hold on a second. San Diego State made the championship last year and lost to UConn. I believe this is a rematch, is it not? Mm-hmm. Right? San Diego State, UConn tonight. maybe we need to lay a little more respect on this team.
Absolutely. They've been building some great teams down there consistently now, and I don't know that this one is as good, but certainly if they did that damage tonight, wow, that'd be a shock to the pool.
Then finally, after that, Illinois versus number two Iowa State. Yeah. I'm nervous about this one, man. In my first run through with the bracket, I had Iowa State going to UConn in the Final Four, and then for some stupid reason I can't remember, I changed it to the Fighting Illini.
Okay, and, so what are you rooting for tonight then for your bracket? I'm assuming Arizona.
Arizona, North Carolina, UConn, and Illinois. So basically all chalk except for Illinois over Iowa State. And that's Iowa's barely a favorite there, so we shall see. Opening day, Major League Baseball locally, the Giants and the Padres. That's Webb versus Yu Darvish. Guardians and the A's, Justin Bieber versus Wood. We'll have that, by the way, for you right here on Saptown Sports. Don't forget, we will have selected A's games for your listening pleasure.
And it is my pleasure.
It is your pleasure.
Exactly. You didn't want to mention the Yankees and Astros today, Dave, at 1:10?
I would say that's Dork. Probably your marquee matchup of the day.
Thank you.
Yankees and Astros.
All rise.
All rise. You, I assume you're going to have multiple screens going at some point.
Yes. Do you? Okay, here's a quick show trivia. Do you remember where you were last year on opening day?
Oh.
And I'll start to give hints when you need them.
Okay. Yeah, I don't.
Okay. If it helps, the reference for me is the Yankees, and someone we were around was very excited about something that happened with the Yankees.
Wait, hold on. Was this the one? Wasn't Frankie there or something?
Frankie, but someone else I thought would help. Frankie the Yankee and myself a Yankee fan, but there was a third person with us that was a Yankee fan.
So the third person.
Very intrigued by this.
It was very intrigued. I am so stumped, dude, which sucks because that means I'm getting old and my memory is lame.
All right, well, I'll fill in the pieces, the missing pieces. It was after the conclusion of Dave on Remote through the city of Portland.
After
the Kings had clinched, we came back, did some extra interviews for the next day, and we were talking to one Yankee fan, Kevin Herter, who was very excited that Aaron Judge homered in the season opener, in the opening day. And, he was watching that along with us and others. You know, we interviewed Barnes and Keegan Murray and all that kind of stuff. We were in Portland.
Keegan Murray was like, I remember very specifically, he was like, I like baseball.
Yeah, I could hit.
We got a break. Jason, doesn't that remote up in Portland, doesn't that night in some ways seem like it was 5 years ago?
Yes, it does.
It does not seem like that. I am not getting, gosh, that seems like just yesterday vibes from that at all.
Right.
Woof. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll take a break. No one, I think, is more excited for opening day than Alan Stiles. And he and his partner, Chris Watkins, they will join us. They make up the fastest growing radio show in the entire country. We'll talk to them. We've got celebrity birthdays and crosstalk as we wrap up our version of today's programming coming up next.
It's time for the news of the day.
The latest headlines, the biggest stories, hard-hitting analysis.
Yeah, this is none of those things.
And now,
here's Carmichael Dave and Jason Ross.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Sorry, Dave. Wrong day to not be here.
Wow. I can see that our good friend Crumble Cookie Chris, he's in the building, and yep. I see a big pink box of Crumble Cookies.
Big box of Crumble Cookies.
And 100% chance none of them will be there in an hour.
I don't know. You got to talk to these guys. Maybe do some threats.
In an hour?
Yeah.
They'll be gone.
Yeah.
Are you coming in an hour, Dave?
No, I'm just saying everybody's gonna, you know, all of you guys rightfully will grab a cookie.
Yes.
And there's nothing wrong with that. And then somehow, some way, word gets out and that box ends up downstairs in the sales pit. And then all the sales vipers just go. You ever see like a pack of wolves on a turkey? That's what it's gonna look like.
Chris and Alan will protect it today.
Yeah,
I think
we got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did get downstairs pretty quickly last time. We're going to make sure that doesn't happen. Yeah. And by the way, we had a really great fan. My birthday was last week.
Oh, that's
right. A fan asked, hey, Alan, did you have lunch already? I say, yeah. This is on the air. Oh, yeah. We're good. Our guy, Steven. And about 20 minutes later, in walks Simone with a box of crumble cookies that he bought.
Wow.
And he specifically bought two oatmeal raisin for me, knowing he really listens to the show.
Yeah. We only do the oatmeal raisin like once a year.
Oh, really?
But it's my favorite. I love oatmeal raisin.
This is what we're talking about here. Both March birthdays. We're just on the same page.
Yeah, Dave, by the way, it's Crumble Chris's birthday today.
Today.
What?
Yes.
23.
28.
Ooh, good guess. Mm-hmm. We're going around?
Yeah, I guess we might as well.
We'll say 31.
Dang. 33.
I'll just go 32 under that.
Today is my 39th birthday.
Oh,
Wow. Cookies keep you young. Keep you young.
That's right.
As we get to celebrity birthdays real quick, today is National Something on a Stick Day, and they're referring to foods.
Okay.
Gentlemen, can you, is there something in particular? I would probably say corn dog for me. That stands out as what is the best food on a stick?
I like a caramel apple.
Kebab.
Kebab's pretty good.
Yeah. Ooh, kebab is good.
I think that's it.
Stick,
corn dog or kebab.
Yeah.
All right. Caramel apple. Yeah, we covered it.
All right, and finally, today is National Weed Appreciation Day.
Okay. Sure.
Way ahead of you, Dave.
On a stick.
Each year, you dirty minds, we need to be reminded that some weeds are beneficial to us and our ecosystem. Humans have used weeds for food and as herbs for much of recorded history. Some are edible and nutritious. Other weeds have medicinal value. So, hey, you know what? They're not just the things in your yard you try to get rid of. So today, maybe a nice salute or a head nod or an attaboy or attagirl to your friendly local neighborhood weed in your yard. Back to you, Jason Ross.
All right. Well, let's do it. It is time for celebrity birthdays. And we know about Crumble Cookies. They're our great sponsor. Celebrity birthdays are meant to be spent with family and friends, and nothing brings family and friends together quite like Crumble Cookies. Happy birthday again, Chris.
Yeah, and I might as well do the
response. Oh, yeah. Let's do an introduction.
Please.
A formal introduction.
So, Dave, you're really missing out today.
Wow.
What's that double decker?
This is a real deal.
I don't know if you're a carrot cake guy. Some people are big carrot cake people. Mm-hmm. Some people can do without. I don't know. But I'm a big carrot cake guy. And we've started something new at Crumble. They're called LTOs. It's like basically once a month. We're actually thinking about or planning on bringing them more often. But these LTO cookies are like these. They stand for limited time offer, and they're just specialty. They're more special than the other cookies. It's a double decker. It is a cake. It's not a cookie. It's a cake, but it's
an experience.
It is. There are things that have to be eaten with a fork or a spoon.
Yeah,
it's not so much just handheld. I mean, you can if you feel like
looks like an Easter theme
adventurous.
There.
Yeah, and then we got Easter egg cookie. It's a sugar cookie. This is new cookie. It's called strawberry pretzel pie.
Wow.
And then we got the milk chocolate chip. This is called lemon crinkle. And the double fudge brownie.
Wow. So, sorry, Dave.
There you go.
Sorry, Dave.
That's my nickname for Jason Ross is lemon crinkle.
Lemon crinkle. Yeah, for years been called that. This box is huge. Yeah, be careful there. There is a chance. Like, are you going to drop?
I feel like there's a chance.
Oh, you're showing it to the camera.
I hate you so much.
And there you go, Dave. Yeah.
There it is. I hate you so much. Up close and personal.
All right, here we go. Happy birthday. Today to Lady Gaga. Gaga.
Huh.
Gaga.
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 I'm going to go slightly older than you'd think. I'm going to go... By the way, A Star is Born, outstanding movie. I watch it every time it's on. I'm going to go at 49.
49?
Wow. 49, jeez.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Sheesh. Miss Gaga is... We'll say 40 even.
Okay.
44.
Christopher Lodd?
I think her and Chris are the same age, 39.
Okay. Dang. Dave?
41.
Christopher Laud was the closest. 38.
Sorry. She's younger than me.
She's younger than you.
No.
49?
Yeah. Alan overshot.
I said 39.
All right. Happy birthday to a former Raiders quarterback, Derek Carr.
Oof. Now this one.
49.
This one, I won't be that wrong on this one.
33,
yeah, says Dave.
That's probably right. Is he my age? Is he 34?
34?
35.
32. Oh,
32?
31.
31. We got 31 through 36. There is a correct answer, it belongs to... It's me. Carmichael Dave, 33.
Ooh, give me the cookies.
Happy birthday to Rick Barry.
Oof.
Hall of Famer Rick Barry.
Hey. Great guy from what I hear.
Mm. Who's going to set the bar?
I'm waiting.
Say old Tricky Rick is 73.
Okay.
70 even.
Is there a relation to John Barry?
Yes,
there
his is, father. Yeah.
That's what I thought. Yeah. I wasn't sure, though.
Yeah.
We'll go 75.
Ooh, 70. That's correct. Sorry.
No, sorry. I was going to go 75 as well. I'll say 74.
72.
75 is the highest I heard, so it's 80 for Rick Barry.
Wow.
80 for Rick Barry.
Happy... He's almost as old as Lady Gaga.
Almost. Happy birthday to former Kings coach Luke Walton.
Man.
Ooh. Luke.
43.
Luke. Looking at the tape.
He's still watching it.
Yeah.
He's 42.
3 and 42.
46.
Ooh, that's what I wanted to get with.
Both Chris's. What do you guys
have?
I'll
say 47.
44.
44. We have a correct answer, guys, and it belongs to Crumble Chris. 44.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Correct answer. All right. Happy birthday to Vince Vaughn.
Oh, wow.
Man.
That's an interesting one.
See?
Oh, are we going to have.
If you see him in Curb, he's starting to show some
That's
age.
What I'm saying. 49.
Yeah. 49 is showing some age.
Lady Gaga.
Same age. Twins, I think they are. Lady Gaga and Vince Vaughn.
Oh, man. I'll say 55 for Vince Vaughn.
53.
Christopher Laud?
58.
Dave?
What?
You grows up and you grows up and you grows up. Vince is 54.
54. So we're all over the board here. We have a correct answer. And it belongs to Carmichael Day, 54.
Give me the cookies. Just give me the cookies.
There you go.
I can feed it to the camera if you want.
All right, is that that?
I think that's that. Right?
That's it.
Okay. I'm sure there will be opening day talk. I'm sure there will be all kinds of fun and hijinks with Styles and Watkins. Cookie Chris, Crumble Chris, love you, miss you. And
thanks, Dave.
Come back soon, would you please? legit, really soon, next week. For Jason, for Chris, for Marcos Breton, for Kelly Brothers, for Sam Amick, I'm Carmichael Dave. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye now.